This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Well, serious day, though. I mean, this is, again, we don't know what's going to happen, if anything. Maybe we just have basketball with basically no one here.
Yep.
We do believe we're going to have the commissioner of the ACC on, John Swafford, during the Power Hour. Dallin Cuff's going to join us later on as well. And Dallin will be good to have on for a number of reasons. Number one, he's an Ivy League guy.
Who set the precedent.
Whose league basically said, you know what, we're closing shop. And there were a lot of people that kind of went after him. What are you guys doing? Da, 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 da.
Right.
And, you know, the Ivy League said, hey, here's how we're going to handle our business. Now, again, everybody's different.
Yep.
From a financial standpoint, from a priority standpoint, I get it. That's part of the thing that makes the world so great. But we don't know what's going to happen here. We don't know what's going to happen in any of the other power leagues, if you will. But we hope to have the commissioner on. But having Dallin on coming up here in a half an hour will be interesting.
Yep.
Jay Billis is also scheduled to join us coming up next hour as well. And then hopefully we get Commissioner John Swafford on. And, you know, if there anything breaks, I have a funny feeling that we'll be able to tell you between now and hopefully 10 a.m. And hopefully we have basketball. Again, from a selfish standpoint, I hope we get to see the games.
If we do have basketball, it'll start at 12:30 here. Top seed Florida State expected to take the floor. They will take the 8th seed Clemson on. And then following that, we'll get to see the 4th seed Duke Blue Devils against NC State for the third time in really about 18 days, I guess it is.
And for both games, assuming we're just going to talk as if we're going to have them, so we don't keep saying the same thing over and over
right
here. But for the two afternoon games, those teams all split.
Yeah, they did.
All right. It's 1-1 for everybody, so this is round three. And again, intriguing games, if we have them. Clemson traditionally has played Florida State, very close. We saw what happened in Little John. And granted, this is not going to be Little John. It's not going to be anything.
Yeah.
By the way, with an empty arena.
Yes, sir.
Again, I always think the best team has always got the advantage. But with an empty arena, don't you believe that the better team has a bigger advantage?
One would think, yes.
And the reason I say that, and for folks who can unpack that, makes no sense. The reason I say that is, if I'm better than you, one-on-one.
Right.
But if you give me a crowd where all of a sudden you can get energized by 20,000 rooting for your team, and you go, uh-oh, the upset's getting ready to happen. I think when there is, that's taken away. Neutrality at its ultimate, right? I think the better team gets the advantage.
I agree.
All right.
Totally agree.
I think from here on,
the top four have, a distinct advantage. I think the top seed has an advantage because of how deep they are, just in terms of the three potential ball games they would play. But, yeah, I think the top four now, the line gets probably a little wider from 4 to 5, to be honest with you. It'd be, NC State, and you heard David Teal say it. I mean, they certainly didn't take themselves out of play last night. They kept themselves in play, but it probably takes a win over Duke for the Wolfpack after after winning the ball game yesterday over Pittsburgh. It probably takes NC State a win over Duke to secure a spot in whatever the NCAA tournament becomes.
We keep talking about opportunities during the end of the regular season.
Right.
Schools have opportunities. This is the ultimate opportunity for NC State. They win today.
Right.
End of story. Don't want to hear about Lenardi. Don't want to hear about any other bracket.
No, they're in.
We're in.
They're in. They're not playing the first four. They're in.
And not only are they in, they're now all of a sudden looking, hey, let's go win the championship.
Sure. Yeah. No question. NC State was a winner by 15 over Pittsburgh yesterday. 73-58, the final there. Devin Daniels played great. CJ Bryce, double-double. Kind of looked like the NC State you thought you were going to get at full tilt, and good for Kevin Keats and the Wolfpack to pick up the victory and building on that regular season finale against Wake Forest. The counter to that is what happened last night with North Carolina. And Mark already told you, we didn't have any lead changes yesterday. The team that started in front stayed in front, and no more pronounced than what Syracuse did here last night.
Yeah, ever since the 4-minute mark of the first game, which was Clemson-Miami, from that moment on, you never saw a lead change in the next 3 games and 4 minutes of ACC tournament action last night. Whoever got the first basket won the game.
Look at this. I mean, it's the opening play of the game, right? Basically.
That took about 2 seconds to score, and next thing you know, it's 7-0 Syracuse, and good night.
Yeah.
Catch you later.
And good for the Orange.
It just goes to show you how strange college hoops can be. It's a North Carolina team that put 90-something on Syracuse on a very ceremonial day. You got Tom Brady was there, Jimmy Fallon. We got Wallace's jersey going to the rafters. It was a kind of a send-off to the dome, and North Carolina was out of sight. Last night, And he had 50-something. I mean, yeah. It's college hoops, and you just never know how this is going to play. But for Syracuse, I thought they were impressive.
Yeah, I thought that the thing you liked about Syracuse last night is they came in, not only did they shoot the ball, I thought the zone had a little more pep to it.
It did.
They were, you know, getting out into the corners. They had done a really good job. We touched on this yesterday of kind of, you know, tweaking what they do, which is how they, that's why the zone is the zone, tweaking kind of what they do on certain patterns against other teams and things of that nature. And I thought that's where they really handcuffed Carolina last night.
Well,
and Carolina didn't shoot it well.
Oh, no, without a question. But that's what the zone will do to you. Yep. If you're not making shots, it's a problem. North Carolina made a ton of shots at Syracuse, and even the kids from Syracuse after the game said, yeah, we were kind of embarrassed at what happened when we played in the first go round. 25 assists. We didn't guard very well. They came into our house and kind of jumped us, and yep. They were ready to play last night. That was a very, very good. And you know what I liked about it?
Hmm.
It justified me putting Syracuse 7 in accounting when y'all were ragging me on Monday. Pack, how can you have Syracuse 7th? I don't hear that today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. No?
I'm with you. No, that's good. I'm glad you got your moment.
I just, you know, I got jumped on with my accounting
yes,
this week.
Did. There was some things that were said.
Yeah. How dare you put Syracuse 7th? You know, they've, at times, like everybody else in the mid-blog, you know, everybody in that whole middle and bottom tier have had moments this year, right?
Yeah.
That's been the problem. Nobody's been able to be consistent in the run.
Yeah.
Nobody. See what happens. A lot of chalk, though, West Durham. Top 8 seeds are still alive and kicking.
What you feeling here, huh?
I told you a couple days ago.
No, tell me.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Is that where you're going to go with this?
That's where I went 2 days ago.
And
you made fun of me. Made fun of me. Oh, Pac, yeah. How many times do I have to tell you? How many times the chalk in the top? You know, I know traditionally history doesn't tell you that the top four get there. I just think the top four seeds are the best teams.
Go to the handy-dandy sheet here.
Give me that stat for the 15th time.
Because here it is. There you see 1, 2, 3, and 4. You see the lineup starts at 12:30 on ESPN. In fact, all day on ESPN. McDonough and your boy Dokic with the afternoon.
Dokic was on with me yesterday afternoon before he started doing games last night and claimed that North Carolina was the greatest 14th seed in the history of college basketball.
I think it's McDonough and Dokic maybe tonight, Shulman and Billis this afternoon. I'm not sure. It works out one way or the other. That's the combinations you'll get here from Greensboro. Top four seeds in the semifinals. This is the stat Pac loves. 17 times all time, 4 times this century, 2 of the last 4.
All right, of those games today, again, we're talking under the premise until told otherwise, we're going to have games.
Yep.
Who of the four is most likely in trouble?
Oof. You know, I want to tell you, there's something about Syracuse Louisville.
Oh, Josh Macri's rubbed off on
no,
you.
No.
Macri's been hanging out here in Greensboro for 2 weeks, it seems like. He is now rubbed off on you with the Syracuse Orange. You think they've got something for Louisville.
I didn't, but here's the thing. Would you agree with me?
You know they've played once this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the score was in that game? 90-66.
I know that.
Okay.
What was the score when they played Carolina at the Carry Dome?
92-87.
Right. I mean, idea being this. Would you agree that of the four, Louisville was the most inconsistent going down the line?
Yes, because of the guards scare me sometimes.
Okay. And what did you just say that's going to be a big factor, like last night for Carolina and a big factor today?
We're going to have good seats?
No. We got to hit shots.
Well, of course.
Right? Syracuse defending, obviously had it tuned up last night.
Hughes was great.
Louisville's got to hit shots.
Louisville's guards, if Louisville's guards.
You're going to tell me Malik Williams is close to 100%?
I don't know what he
played
is.
The other day.
I know. I don't know where he is in the percentage category.
Okay.
When Louisville's guards play well, they
Louisville
win this tournament.
Well.
They can win this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
I agree.
But their guards scare me sometimes.
Of those,
yeah.
Louisville.
Okay.
Now.
How about Notre Dame?
I like
Notre Dame, Virginia.
I like
about the championship DNA.
And it was a close game in Charlottesville.
50-49.
Yeah, very good game. John Mooney, percentages tell you John Mooney bounces back today from a scoring perspective. I thought Juwan Durham was tremendous last night for them. From an offensive line, Nate Leshefsky gave them some good stuff. So did Dane Goodwin off the bench. Notre Dame kind of acted like I thought Notre Dame would in this building. I'm interested to see kind of how they play today too. But of the four, Syracuse, Louisville.
Now we're going to talk more about these games.
Yep.
All right.
We got plenty more to go. We got things to tell you about. We got all sorts of stuff going on.
We even have some football news today as just a little teaser.
Yes, I know. We do.
Dallin Cuff, I know, is coming up here in about 15 minutes, and we'll get his take on all this stuff.
Yeah.
But we've actually got some football news. By the way, and again, I don't want to go crazy speculation here. There were a number of institutions, we've had basketball on the brain.
Right.
But there were a number of institutions that even canceled their spring football games.
That's right.
Michigan, Ohio State in particular. Don't you think we're just going down that road? That's where we're headed?
Yes, sir.
It just feels that way, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I hate that.
I understand.
But it's, you know, probably the smart thing to do until proven otherwise.
That's exactly right. I think you have to err on the side of caution now in a big way, given the impact that COVID-19's having.
Yeah, I mean, that NCAA decision yesterday was much more than just basketball. I know we were sitting here in the Greensboro Coliseum talking about the tournament, the games, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But again, the Frozen Four with hockey,
right,
and wrestling, which of course the ACC is having such an incredible year from an individual standpoint and team standpoint. And when you start talking about 45,000 tickets already sold for Minneapolis, and it's an incredible event. Never been, heard it's unbelievable.
Right.
But that's going to have a trickle-down effect to the conference as well. I mean, it's just, it's very unfortunate because especially basketball in particular, given November, December, January, February, we all love March and the tournament and March Madness and this incredible event, especially here in Greensboro,
yep.
Wes. You know, because the folks here have just rolled out the carpet. They want to embrace everything. And I hate it for all the fans that made the commitment to come up here to see these games today and tomorrow in particular, much less what happens on Saturday. But it's a bummer. I mean, it really does. It stinks.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
From Greensboro, Dallin Cuff is going to join us in about 15 minutes. We look forward to that. Jay Billis at the top of the hour at 9. And then hopefully the commissioner of the ACC in the Power Hour as well. Scoreboard is up. We hope to have games today, Wes. We're just kind of just slightly talking about the four today and
yep.
Who's got the best shot. First game you are hopefully going to see is Clemson and Florida State. As I mentioned, they have played twice. Last time they saw each other was in Little John, which was a crazy, crazy game that Clemson wins literally at the buzzer. Traditionally, they have played very close games. The first chance for us to see Florida State because the double bye is now over and done with. And the
right.
Big Four get ready to get after each other. And the first chance to see the number one seed in Florida State.
Yeah, Clemson played well yesterday in the fight with Miami. But this game here was some kind of good, wasn't it? Florida State did a lot of really good things. Clemson just made, one or two more plays.
They literally made the last shot.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And remember, this was the inadvertent whistle game in which we had the long delay. And,
right.
People were going crazy on it, but Florida State scored with about 8 to 10 seconds to go in the game to take the lead. And then next thing you know, here comes Dawes. He's going down the floor, makes it with 1/10 of a second, and Clemson wins the game. So, with that said, there's no doubt Florida State's the favorite. They're the number one seed. The number one seed has won 8 of the last 14 ACC tournaments.
Are the Tigers in an interesting spot today?
I think Clemson will play well.
I do, too.
Don't you?
I mean,
they kind of like the challenge of Florida State's athleticism. They'll have to shoot the ball well. I mean, it's the old adage for every one of these teams moving forward, hopefully even to the NCAA tournament for those that make it. If you make shots, you got a chance. I think if Clemson makes shots, I think they can keep this thing close, but Florida State's the best team. Florida State's the best team.
And they're interested. They obviously worked to get the double bye. They have worked to get the top seed. They wanted to win the thing out, which they did. By the way, they didn't play great against Boston College at the end of the regular season, but in the finale last Saturday, I'm not sure they had to, but they did not play great in the game. Won the game, but the Noles, just kind of be honest with you, Got away with a C minus pack and won the ball game. It'll be interesting to see after Saturday, you know, what kind of fires in the engine this morning. Because this is a team that can make a long run starting next week, in my opinion.
Call me crazy, but when we had Leonard Hamilton on yesterday,
yeah,
his team was practicing behind us.
Loose.
And I, you know, not only were they loose, but there was, if you didn't turn around to watch and you were just listening, there's an intensity about their team. Mm-hmm. And there's a connection with their team.
Yep.
And I know that sounds crazy, and you almost had to be here to understand what I'm saying. But, you know, there were a lot of teams that we saw practice. And a lot of times, everybody's messing around, doing anything. Not that team. That team was loose, having fun, but you can sense there was a sense of purpose with what they were doing.
I agree.
And that's with Coach sitting right here with us, mm-hmm. and they were still taking care of their business doing that. This is the number one team in the league for a reason. Clemson will have to play extremely well, but making shots is the key. If you don't make shots against this club, catch you later. They move on.
I'm going to go back to something he talked about the other day, and we touched on it several times, and that's Stan Jones, Charlton Young, Steve Smith on his staff.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Stan and Charlton, who've been with him a long time. Smitty's brand new to replace Dennis Gates.
And ironically, came from Clemson.
That's right. And Dennis Gates left to become the head coach at Cleveland State. But the idea of Stan Jones and Charlton Young and Leonard Hamilton and now Smitty with them, that triumvirate has done a phenomenal job putting this program together. And in particular, the work that CY and Stan do in just game planning and coaching these guys in concert with Leonard, it's amazing.
Here's the thing I really love about Florida State. This kind of setup mm-hmm. is perfect for the way they're built.
Yeah.
They have great depth. The way Leonard coaches, hey, you going in for 3-4 minutes, you go as hard as you want, you come sit right here, next wave, let's go.
Right.
Clemson played yesterday. Granted, they played early, but still.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a grinder. It's tied up with 4 minutes to go. When Florida State gets after you, and they're going to get after you, a setup in which you get a chance to play a team on a back-to-back, and for Florida State's sake, hopefully another back-to-back,
right.
Their depth really comes into play in this kind of format, more so even than the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. I think that's why Clemson will have their work cut out for mm-hmm. them today at 12:30. Second ball game of the afternoon session, NC State and Duke for about the third time in 18 days, seemingly, maybe less than that, maybe about 16 days. But the Blue Devils and Wolfpack, we'll see what happens. NC State, a 15-point winner yesterday over Pitt. Duke has won 11 of the last 20 tournaments, as Pac told you. But the Blue Devils, somehow or another, in this event, as we were visiting with David Teal earlier, you talk about a DNA in an event, Duke has the DNA in this event.
Well, there's a lot of coaches that will give you, hey, it's a cocktail party, whatever, you know, we're in the dance.
Right.
That's not the case for the boys in Durham. They come here with the intent that, hey, we are here to win. We yep. want the banner. We want to go hang another one, and let's go. And that's exactly their approach. I will say, though, the two games these two teams have already played, Wes, neither one's been competitive.
Yeah.
I mean, NC State jumped Duke in Raleigh.
22-point win.
That was a game in which Mike Krzyzewski afterwards said, you know what, we weren't ready to go. We were not competitive. But they were the second time they saw NC State, and they kind of gave them a dose of their own medicine. So since we have two blowouts, maybe we'll have a close one. Maybe we'll have a close one.
Well, it was a 19-point decision at Cameron in the second meeting. We'll see kind of how this plays out. If I'm NC State, I would be encouraged by Devin Daniels yesterday. Certainly CJ Bryce's double-double. I'd like to see Markell Johnson.
That's the guy. That's where I was going to go with you. Okay. I think for NC State, you know, we always talk certain teams, there's certain things that have to happen for teams to win.
Right.
For me, it's NC State with Markell Johnson. When he plays great, NC State plays great. He distributes the ball, everything works. When he's out of kilter,
yeah.
NC State always seems to be a little out of kilter. Critical. And here's the other thing for Duke. Does my man, is he the third wheel? Does he score? Does he take care of business? Mr. Stanley? And I'm glad they got that scoreboard up. He might hit his head. My man Stanley. It's my guy.
Cassius Stanley.
Oh.
He's the go-with today
but
Trey
Duke,
Jones and
but
Vernon
Duke coming
Carey.
Up with the third wheel, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know Trey Jones, great player. You know Carey inside, great player.
Mm-hmm.
When Duke gets the third guy that scores,
yep.
they move on. So those are the two keys, I think. Markell Johnson's got to be great for State. And does Duke get the third wheel rolling? Whoever that may be.
All right, real quick on the night session, Notre Dame, Virginia. We already told you about a one-point ball game there.
Right, 50-49.
During the regular season. Overtime, of course.
Virginia winner. That's all Virginia does is win those games.
Syracuse, Louisville. I've already told you, Syracuse. You picked them seventh this week.
I'm seventh in accounting. If Notre Dame makes shots, Wes, again, it's like a broken record. They can cause a problem, right? That's
yeah.
that's the one offensive team in this lot. When you start talking about where's the upset,
yep.
man, when Notre Dame makes shots, you got to deal with them, and they will spread you out. Right?
With five guys on the floor to shoot it, and that's when it gets real frightening.
And Mr. Mooney's gone back-to-back non-double-doubles, which doesn't happen very often. Right? He had 25 during the regular season. He's kind of due, right?
By the way, he's one off the Notre Dame record of Bob Whitmore.
He's kind of due to have a little breakout here. And again, we got him on a couple times on the show. He's just a first-class kid.
Yep.
Big time.
Notre Dame's probably in a position, to be honest with you, that, you know, in order to do it, they're going to have to throw a big number up there on the threes.
Yeah, they got to score. And that game can't be in the 50s, right? I just don't know if Notre Dame can win that game in the 50s. They can win the game if it's upper 60s or 70s.
Yep.
That's how it kind of looks.
50-49 was kind of right there on the Virginia line, don't you think?
That's a Wahoo special. That's a DNA of the Hoos that say, we're just going to strangle you and just say, that's what we do. And you're going to like it. But you like Cuse, huh? You think that's the one?
Yeah. I like the Notre Dame. I like Notre Dame, Virginia, too, if the caveat being the Irish hit shots.
Yeah. They can win that game if they make shots.
Yeah. And then Macri, of course, wants us to spend more time on Syracuse-Louisville before we go to break, just because.
Well, Macri, listen, I'm going to give Josh Macri some love. You know why? Because you know he's going to get a hold of Brian Ives up there in Bristol and just wear him out.
Yeah.
Poor Ives, man. He's just been – he has struggled with this. But last night was kind of a fitting end.
We heard from Ives yet this morning after his, you know, tweet? So –
you know, in some respects, you know, North Carolina kids, I'm sure, want to win. But, yeah, you know, the way that season's been going, well, it's almost kind of like, hey, you know what? Move on. Because the Heels will be back.
Yeah.
I have no doubt.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hello. This is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Greensboro Coliseum. Work being done in the upper deck. No need, right? We're going to just lower the curtain.
That's where we are. They're going to drop that curtain down in here and get ready for the quarterfinals, scheduled to start at 12:30. Top seed Florida State in action here at the Coliseum against Clemson.
So. And it probably makes sense to try to make this as intimate as possible. And, again, the first game, as you mentioned, was at 12:30. The commissioner of the ACC will join us coming up in about an hour. And I just hope we have basketball.
Yeah.
Hope we get it. Yeah, Mr. Cuff, how you doing, bud?
Same thing. I think we all look forward to this month. I mean, this is the month. This is what basketball is all about. That Thursday, Friday, the first day of the big tournament is one of the most exciting days. This day is usually one of the best days in college basketball across the country too, because you get all these double bye teams that our big conferences are finally in action for most part. And yeah, I hope we get hoops, but I'm not sure about that.
I want to ask you, and I knew you were coming on the show last night, and I saw your buddy Sean Farnham, last night with SVP late on SportsCenter. And I know you guys sit shoulder to shoulder in Bristol during the week sometimes. You feel the same with him that in some ways we may be seeing the last hours of basketball this year?
I think we are. Because if you just spin it forward, Sean's, by the way, he was on the 1 o'clock. I just talked to him 20 minutes ago. He'll be on all day and all night.
Guy's fully caffeinated, though. Let's be honest, right? Fully caffeinated and doesn't drink coffee.
Yeah, when he has caffeine, watch out. Yeah. It's a whole different animal. But in terms of the situation, yeah, I do think that we're probably on the precipice of seeing the end of the college basketball season. Just because if you spin it forward, think about it. If we do get through Selection Sunday, in which these tournaments are played,
right,
Selection Sunday, that's a logistical challenge. The NCAA has played out so many times. They know how to do it, but it's still a logistical challenge. How do not all 68 teams get tested immediately? How do you actually roll out that testing? That's the biggest issue right now in our country in terms of the actual resources to test people, to get the numbers right, to get the information. So, and if one positive test comes in, we're done.
Yeah.
So that if you just think about that, if you're from a purely logistical process, if we don't even think about what could happen here the next 3 days, I would be surprised if we do have an NCAA tournament. I would be surprised if these continue, which is obviously incredibly unfortunate. I always come at this too with a smaller school perspective, obviously given my background, and I don't feel any less bad for Florida State or Duke or any of the high major teams, but Dayton is on this special run that may never be replicated. San Diego State the same way. East Tennessee State is one of those teams that they punch their ticket as a solo bid. Harvard, they've been the most snake-bitten team I've ever seen. They had the best player in the conference, Seth Towns, who is going to grad transfer, who, by the way, a lot of teams here want next year. And they may get, or he may just go play pro. He was the best player in the league in 2018. Tears his ACL in the final. They lose at Penn. They got to play on the road. At Penn's Benjamin. They lose there by three. Next year, they're the number two team in the league. Excuse me, the co-champion league. They have to play at Yale. They lose. And they can't go. This year was supposed to be their year. They're second in the tournament. They host, they're second in the league. They host the tournament. That's called off. And all those kids, all those seniors, all that, they were a top 100 class. They were the 10th best class in the country. All unforeseen potential, but that's across the country, this feeling of just incredible sadness. But you got to err on caution here. I just don't think we can keep proceeding like there's no problem.
You know, given your background from an Ivy perspective, they were the first league to say, hey, we're shutting this thing down. And I know that doing the afternoon show on Sirius XM, there were a lot of people going, well, those folks, that they don't care about sports, or they're nuts. Well, here we are now, a couple days later. And again, we have no idea what's going to be decided on moving forward. But when you heard the news with the Ivy League's initial decision to say, no, men's tournament, women's tournament, we're not going there, you had to think in the back of your mind that, hey, you know what? Here we go. Game's on.
I was surprised, though, at that. I still thought the next logical step was just no fans. Mm-hmm. And then we'd see if it goes forward. And I did pop in my head that, man, if we're going to do this, I mean, maybe they know something we don't know. Maybe they're just being really cautious. I did always come to the perspective, too, that they, let's be honest, they don't have that tournament to make money. And they don't need your money. I mean, $32 billion endowment for Harvard, 16 for Yale, whatever. I mean, that's just insane. So it ain't about dollars and cents, whereas a lot of the other conferences, there's 23,000 people in here.
Right.
You're moving. I know the media rights are what really moves the dollars, but you're still, there are dollars and cents, decisions to be made.
There's a trickle-down effect across the board.
Yes. And
for
across
the towns that host it, for people who are spending disposable income, the whole deal.
100%. But in that gym with Harvard, none of that stuff really factored in.
Right.
All it was about the kids, and you felt awful for them, and I know what they were doing, but there was no other extemporaneous circumstances. I thought the other extemporaneous circumstances around a bunch of other conferences, contracts with buildings like this, the money to be lost across the board, would move people in a direction to try to keep going forward. But as this thing continues to evolve, and it's almost hourly right now, things just keep changing, it's hard to turn a blind eye to it.
I find the... And again, we talked about this earlier in the first hour, the private schools, of which that's what the Ivy League is, to the public institutions who fall under state government and budgets and things of that nature, they are slowly moving into alignment. But we're dealing with a conference today from a news perspective. Mark, we were talking about the state of Florida's already made kind of their resolve at Gainesville, at Tallahassee, with their state institutions. So we've kind of got that dynamic to go through now, and that's the difference, too, in the Ivy League, where they get those – schools together, bang, that's one phone call, they move on.
Yeah.
And they deal with it all the time. And I think now the state and local government agencies are having a bigger say in this, too. It'll be interesting to see how this goes.
But real, I mean, when you move that forward, so say we again go forward, and they do test everybody, it's fine. But they've called off spring sports, or you're not having classes. Mm-hmm. How do you still have the kids rolling out the ball next Thursday? Like, I just don't, there's an inherent hypocrisy there that I can't square the circle.
Well, we kicked this around earlier today, too, that, hey, if you're going to tell 23,000 fans who've made the trip to Greensboro for this incredible event, no, we're done here. It does seem a bit strange to say, but otherwise, we're going to go have a competition.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so listen, we'll see how this thing plays out. We don't have the answers. We're kind of at the mercy of the gods, per se. And like you said, this is an hour-by-hour deal. It would not surprise me if we shut this thing down. It wouldn't surprise me if we played games.
Yeah.
Okay. You have followed basketball, played basketball. These guys are going to take the floor. And David Teal brought up the empty scrimmages in October and November, the secret scrimmages that we somehow all find out about, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the secret scrimmages. Is that what this atmosphere is today? AAU tournament secret scrimmage?
You guys know why I'm laughing, right?
Why?
Because I didn't have secret scrimmages. I had real games that played like this. You go play up at Dartmouth in the middle of February, and they haven't won a game in forever. You're playing with it's the eight people from the town, and not friends and family, because nobody's family wants to go up there.
You mean there's not 14,000 screaming, come on, Cuff, you can't play a lick. There's none of that.
If you want to have a ball screen, you know exactly what coverage you're in. That thing is crystal clear, man. So we played in venues before, and it is true. You got to bring your own energy, and coaches would talk about it every time you played at Harvard. At Harvard, too, because they struggled when I was playing, too. And my freshman year, I'm sure when you came to play us, there was nobody there on my freshman year. We were horrible. Now, they started to build an atmosphere, and it was different, but you had this discussion going into those places, especially. And Cornell, too. Guys, it's hard to be up here.
You mean Newman Arena wasn't that hot?
crickets in Newman Arena before they ran that triple, before Steve Donning went to three straight. Right. And that place was live once they were good. But when they weren't, it was, you know, 1,000 townsfolk. But that's just, that was not that bad. But you do it to bring your own energy. You have to be ready to go. The thing, difference in that is, that's a regular season game where sometimes you think you should walk in and beat whatever team that is.
Okay.
This is a tournament. This is the ACC tournament. So, I mean, it shouldn't be hard to bring your own energy, but where you will see the difference is a little bit of the momentum that goes on with, you know, having a quick run, 6-8 spurt. Is it easy to sustain that? Is it much easier to break that when you're playing without the atmosphere?
We kicked this around too. It seems to me, if we're playing basketball and this is the environment, what you hear and see right now,
yeah,
the better teams get even a bigger advantage. You agree with that?
Because of
what you just talked about. If you were the underdog, all of a sudden everybody, the building's alive because guess what? A number one's getting ready to go down or a number two's getting ready to go down. And there's all, to me, basketball has always had that energy and flow. It's quick. We're going back and forth. This is not football. Hey, every 3 minutes we have a play.
Yeah.
It's those runs you talked about. It seems to me always helps an underdog if you're going to pull it off.
I think in the NCAA tournament, absolutely. I remember going to the Civic Arena in Pittsburgh in 1998 when Coppin State beat, Iowa, I think, Coppin State had their first and only tournament win. But that place in the second half just went electric for them. Here, though, is still a more partisan group. You still have your squad is still part of the mix. So I know there's less, I think, true neutrals that are going to get on the underdog here as much as you may want to see Duke lose versus seeing Florida State win. And then that comes into effect, I'm sure.
I remember in this building, Lehigh.
Duke.
Yeah. CJ.
Yes, CJ McCollum. Yeah. And North Carolina played earlier in the day and rolled. And Duke loaded up with Lehigh, first round.
Separate sessions.
But the North Carolina fans were like, well, you know, we got our barbecue across the street from Stamey's. Let's just go over and just catch the beginning of the game. If it's ugly, we'll get out of here. And lo and behold, here comes this group from Pennsylvania, and they're making shots. Yep. It's McCollum at guard. They couldn't stop them. And this place, I mean, you know, Duke's right down the road, and you would think that they are on the road.
Yeah.
And the light blue was like, oh, dark blue's having a hard
time. Absolutely.
This place was rocking. Yeah. You're like, my goodness. But so that kind of stuff can happen.
Yeah. There's none of that today.
Yeah. Mm-mm. So, yeah, we were right. I mean, it's going to just have a really interesting feel to it. And I say this somewhat in jest, but ESPN better have their hand on the dump button or, you know, the bleep button, because you're going to, I mean, what you're going to be able to hear on that court from the gentleman on the probably the sidelines to the people on the court is going to be pretty colorful, let's say. So this whole experience, if we proceed, will be unique for everybody. And I'm interested to see how they react. And all honesty, I wonder how much players, obviously, they love the NBA. And you're always looking up to those guys in the NBA. You see those scenes last night and you hear about Gobert. I wonder what goes through your head. I mean, think like, I wonder if anybody's wanting, I know you want to play, but it's all like, man, what are we doing here? I know you're 18 to 22. You feel invisible, but at some time there might creep in your head. It's a little strange.
And, well, that's where I think the testing issue, which we talked about earlier, I mean, you really have to know that answer, I think, if you're going to play basketball.
For sure.
You got to know.
Yeah, you can't.
You know,
if
everybody's clear, hey, good. All right. If that's what we want to do, let's go play. But as you said, it will take one sign. Yeah. That's positive. Hey, forget it. Yeah. No way.
All right. Of the four yesterday, who's got the best chance to maybe cut into the chalk?
Notre Dame, just partially because of how Virginia plays. Again, you guys have mentioned it. It's been talked about for a long time. I mean, this isn't new to this year's team. They've always played with a small margin of error, and it's going to be a tight game. And they're comfortable in that. You talk to their staff all the time. Those guys are comfortable in those environments. Well, that said, still one bounce the wrong way. You know, Huff doesn't block a shot. Maybe they lose to Duke. You never know what happens in those situations. So I think Notre Dame has the best opportunity based on how UVA plays. And yes, if they make shots, and Michael Bray will tell you all the time, when Goodwin is good and Leshefsky is good, that's a different team. And they were good last night. And Leshefsky's playing with more confidence too. He's a guy that can knock down shots, hasn't done it consistently, but it gives you quite a bit at his height. So I'm interested to see how they come out. Because if you make threes against UVA too, we also know defensively that makes that game differently. If you don't make threes, it's brutal.
Were you surprised Syracuse had it so easy against North Carolina?
Yeah. I mean, I was on multiple shows yesterday saying I thought the Tar Heels would win and take you to Cover City too, but that didn't really happen. It was quite a bit of a mess, man. I mean, that was a little bit of a revert to like how Cole played the beginning of the year. Right when he came back, it showed that experience matters in these situations because he took a quick three, a horrible pull up, the pass to my man down here in the front row. And of course, Roy doesn't call a timeout, but at that time, you need to bring it together. And he kind of unraveled. He had more turnovers than points. Brandon Robinson, obviously foul issues didn't help him. And I said this last night for North Carolina fans. It wasn't about the crowd. I mean, it wasn't about the refs. The refs didn't lose you that game. People were complaining. Because you can hear the rustling and bustling as we're sitting here watching the game and complaining about the refs.
No.
That had nothing to do with it. I mean, that
not
they
get
were
beat by 28.
Yeah, I felt bad for me. Garrison Brooks obviously crying on the sidelines, and he wanted to lead that team in a different manner. But those guys, they played like they did for the majority of the season, not like the last 3 weeks. I thought we'd see the team we'd seen the last 3 weeks, not like the majority of the season.
If there is a silver lining to Carolina's season, it's what Garrison Brooks became during the course of this year and what the payoff may mean for him next year.
For sure. I think there's that coupled with the fact that you have four McDonald's All-Americans coming in.
Sure.
I think this will be the aberration. I don't think this is not going to be a start of a trend for North
totally
Carolina
agree.
By any stretch of the imagination. I'm interested to see if Cole Anthony comes back. I don't. I know he may get drafted in the lottery because of how weak this draft is. I always kill question. The kid's a really talented player. But in the NBA level, you have to have an elite skill. Whether it's you have to be an elite athlete. You know, great wingspan, great shot blocker, great shooter, great vision, great feel. He doesn't tick a box for me and says, like, he can do X at an NBA level right now. That doesn't mean that he can't get there in a short period of time. I think it wouldn't hurt him to come back and continue to work on his game. Nothing you can't do that at the NBA level. But at the NBA level, if you're going on two-way between the G League and hoping to get in the league, that's a really hard door to knock down. And it's not about getting in the league. It's about staying in the league. Mm-hmm. And you got to get to that second contract. People keep talking about, well, you want to get to the second contract quicker. Yeah, that's like 15 guys. Ten guys that have that calculation, if that.
But you and I always hear the same thing. How am I going to start my clock? Got to start my clock.
Yeah.
Well, you don't start the clock on the bus from Oakland to Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
You know, you don't start it on the bus from Brooklyn out to Long Island.
Yep.
I mean, that doesn't start the clock.
Exactly.
And that's the part that I think is frustrating. And there are a lot of really good players. You know this better than I do. Because you follow it. The G League's full of good players.
I know. And then those dudes talking about fighting for your life. Like, those guys are fighting for their lives every single night to try to realize that. We had 40 guys go undrafted, underclassmen last year.
Yeah.
And they're either playing there or they're playing their trade in Europe, which is great. But either way, you're playing grown men on either side of the Atlantic that are playing for their lives, and that is not easy. You have an easier ground to continue to develop with less pressure on yourself at the collegiate level.
Before we let you go.
Uh-oh, here we go.
The Portuguese word of the... This was started from his very first
radio
appearance.
Interview. Yeah, the first time you ever joined us on the Old Central.
Yeah, and we started this every time that you're on the show in any shape, way, or form, in person.
Look at this.
We're
going to graphic
air.
It up today.
The Portuguese word of the day is...
Vazia.
Vazia. Spell it.
V-A-Z-I-A. That means empty.
Perfect.
Unfortunately. Empty by the building, but I would say more... To get too philosophical on you,
uh-oh.
I think this whole thing may have us all have an empty and sad feeling in the end for not just the kids, but those affected. The whole thing is a disaster, so it's unfortunate to say the least.
By the way, how's the table and venue been up here for you guys at night? Because Corey and I were doing the Carolina-Virginia Tech game the other night, and it looked like that Kelsey was literally having to officiate some discussions up here during the course of the game.
I'll tell you what, there's nothing people love more than free T-shirts. And when they fall out of the sky, they cause just chaos around it. Luke caught one of them. And there was a gentleman over here. There was a very rude dude that was just screaming and fighting for it. Luke, give me that shirt. He's screaming at him. And I'm like, don't give it to him. There's like a 6-year-old kid that you're making his day. And the kid's mom is like, yeah, give it to him. We're colorful language in Luke's direction. So I would say what I've learned from this set is people are animals when you give them free shirts. It changes all society, apparently.
You know what? It's a shame that we didn't have an empty arena for that.
They dropped. But they still end up here.
Was that the blimp that was zipping around there? What'd they do? No,
they toss it, and they have like parachutes, and they float down. So you can see them coming for a while.
So not the shoe blimp.
No shoe blimp there.
By the way, let it also go down in our show files that Dallin Cuff becomes the first Suns Out, Guns Out guy on the show.
Should I flex on him?
You know why? Because he can't.
Because he can't.
I say this all the time. If you got it, flaunt it.
That's exactly right.
I had a wardrobe malfunction. We'll just call it that with my long sleeve shirt. I'm quite cold right now, so I can't wait to get that shirt back on.
Fulfilling the endorsement, which I appreciate more than you know.
We don't normally invite guys with like 0%
body fat
to the set.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I'm sorry, guys.
I'll apologize.
I'm going to go ahead to the gym now.
Don't do that.
Be all right.
Packer and Durham.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
In a lot of ways, Greensboro and the ACC tournament are synonymous.
It's historically something that we look forward to. When the tournament comes, you see it just bubbles up the whole community.
There's a historical aspect of the tournament when it's in Greensboro that can't be matched anywhere else.
Packer and Durham from the Greensboro Coliseum. Jay Billis coming up top of the hour. The commissioner of the ACC, John Swafford, is scheduled to join us around 9:30 as well.
Yep.
And what is going to be a very interesting day, hopefully with basketball. And if we don't have basketball, it will still be an interesting day.
Yeah, no question about it. And we did have some news non-basketball related, non-COVID-19 related. And that came yesterday with the announcement of the 2020 National Football Foundation and College Hall of Fame class that will be inducted in early December in New York City. And there are two ACC ties to it, one player and one coach. The player was as good as it gets in the mid-1990s. A safety named Anthony Poindexter of the Virginia Cavaliers. Really well-deserving honor for Pack. I thought one of the hardest hitters this league has seen in the last 25 years, at least last 30-some years.
He would hit you to next week.
Yep.
And those Virginia teams were really good. And, of course, keep in mind that was during the era that Florida State was dominating the ACC. But there was no doubt you had to deal with Mr. Poindexter. I don't care who you were. You knew where he was on the field. So well-deserved. And, again, this guy was a football player.
Yep, sure was. And a two-time first-team All-America. The 1998 ACC Defensive Player of the Year was a finalist for the Thorpe and Nagurski Awards, playing for a fellow Hall of Famer, the late George Welsh.
Right.
You mentioned the 95 conference title. That included the Thursday night victory over Florida State. Third Cavalier to be named three-time first-team All-ACC and won the 1998 Brian Piccolo Award. So our congratulations, by the way, to Anthony Poindexter.
And those highlights that you could see, man, how many times did he just absolutely lay somebody out?
Yeah.
And it's probably a good thing the targeting rule wasn't in play in the late 90s. Because as awful as that rule is right now in college football, and I will beat this one to death now, man, Poindexter had been probably thrown out of 10 games. He hit people so hard.
He would have had a hard time getting to the horn.
They were like, man, I don't know if it was crown or the helmet. Man, he hit the guy so hard, it got to be a flag. We'll sit there and have another 10-minute conversation about whether or not he should have been in the game. But he was a tremendous player.
Yeah, he was.
Terrific. The second guy that got in.
Now, this is well-deserving, too, I think.
I'm going to tell you something. I was stunned.
He's not in.
Yes.
That's what I thought.
And when I saw that yesterday, I was like, oh, wait a minute. Dick Sheridan's got to be in.
Amazing, isn't it?
I could not believe it.
He was 121, 52, and 5 in his career, 59, 29, and 3 at North Carolina State. The work he did at Furman was so good that when NC State went to hire him from Furman, they let him change the logo on the helmet.
Had that diamond, didn't they?
Yep, and NC State was really, really good. Bobby Dodd, National Coach of the Year, multi-award winner, is the ACC Coach of the Year, a fine football coach in Dick Sheridan.
You know what? You know who's one guy that probably saw that news yesterday and had something to say about it? Youngster people. Because he had Danny Ford's number. It was crazy. Danny's teams, I mean, goodness gracious, as good as they were in the 80s, they'd play NC State and you can forget about it.
Yeah.
Dick Sheridan just had his number, man.
Really good teams.
Oh, man.
I
was really surprised, though, when I saw that list yesterday. And went, oh, that can't be the same Dick Sheridan. That one Dick Sheridan's already in. Who's this Dick Sheridan?
Yep. Second most wins in school history, by the way, 4 All-Americans, 31 All-Conference players in his tenure in Raleigh. He guided Furman from 1978 to 1985, and I think I'm right. Still in the Grand Strand, last I heard. It was still in the Myrtle Beach area, I think. Coach Sheridan, we offer our congratulations to you and to Anthony Poindexter.
You know, a pretty good week for NC State, right? You're talking about you can have nice things, Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Women take care of business. Wes Moore probably still looking for that wetsuit.
Yeah.
Taking care of it. The wrestling team wins a championship.
Pull that from the dry cleaner.
Kevin Keats and the boys are still winning. Got a chance for a big opportunity. It's been a good week for NC State.
Yeah.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.